Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Phoenix Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and today we've got a fun and unique show. A few powerhouse individuals coming together on behalf of LinkedIn Local. So with me in the studio today is Chris Huey, developer evangelist and Phoenix Tech Community Ambassador at Galvanize Phoenix. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you for having me, Karen.
I'm thrilled. I feel like I have known you only because I see you on LinkedIn all the time, and Galvanize has become a favorite place of mine. So it's nice to finally meet you in person.
Yeah, and you had Diana on recently too. So
I did, and Rick Stoddard with Coplex with her as well. Great conversation. So thanks again for making time for us today. And TJ Bagadia, welcome. Tech recruiter with Phoenix Staff Company. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Karen. That's exciting.
Absolutely. And we've got you've got a fun little, I don't know what you would call it.
Tagline.
I think that's the word, the frustrated recruiter.
It is.
That's a perfect, I think I see it getting a lot of activity, a lot of action on LinkedIn as well. So thank you again for making time to be here.
Of course.
And we also have Dana Charfalia, Concentric Corporation's IT recruiter. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. And where is your office?
It is out of Galvanize.
Oh, you know what? You did mention that. That's right. Okay, good. I should remember these things. And then with us via Zoom conferencing is the guy who pulled this rock star group together, Greg Johnson, brand strategist and talent specialist at a Trilogy Solutions Group. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, I am super excited to be here and just to be included in this awesome group of people. I mean, everybody always tells me I've got a face for radio. So today proves it. Thank you for having me.
Well, we will be doing some photos. And I thought, how can I get Greg in the photo? I thought I'd put your, profile picture up on my phone.
I'll send you my life-size cutout. How about that?
Oh, even better.
I keep those in my trunk. It's weird, but
don't tell anybody that.
Yeah.
Great. So Greg, why don't you kick us off by telling us first about LinkedIn Local and why Phoenix?
Yeah, no. So LinkedIn Local is just, I mean, LinkedIn in general has gone through such an incredible evolution in the last probably year or so, where LinkedIn for a long time was just, it was basically an online resume. It wasn't anything too exciting. There's not a whole lot going on. But over the last couple of years, it has shifted significantly from very static to an extremely dynamic place where people are actually networking. I mean, if you take LinkedIn Local and this event that we're going to be putting on, where literally, I mean, as of right now, I think Chris might know the exact number, but I think we're close to or maybe over 200 people signed up.
Yep, that's
none. I have
close.
Not.
Hopefully, it goes.
Wow,
even
that's
after
huge.
This.
Yeah, I mean, I've just to you said that I was able to pull this group together. I've never met anybody else on this call. I've never met Chris. I've never met TJ. I've never met Dana. I've never met you. All of this was through LinkedIn. And so it's such a powerful, powerful platform to do some really cool stuff. And so back in like April or something like that, a lady named Anna McCaffey, she's out in Australia. She posted that she started a LinkedIn Local meetup. And from there, it's just gone nuts, where it's been in over 100 cities and all across the world. And I mean, it's just a really cool thing where you're getting to put a face and shake the hands of the people behind the profile. And we've seen people that have been able to get jobs. We've seen people that have been able to create a personal brand or people that get new business. And that's not what it's about. It's just about bringing it down to earth and really just making the people on the other side of that profile real. And it's just a really cool way to do it. And so why Phoenix? I have a very special place in my heart for Phoenix. I've lived in Gilbert for a while and in Queen Creek. And when I found out that I was coming to Phoenix to do for my company's yearly party or annual party, whatever you want to call it, I thought, man, this is the perfect time to do it in Phoenix, because Phoenix has such an incredible community. I mean, just ask Chris, like the community in Phoenix around like tech and just the professional community in general is incredible. And so I thought this was the perfect place. If we don't have it yet, we need to do it now. And so I reached out to, I think TJ first, and then I talked to Dana, and then I talked to Chris, and I was like, all right, can we make this thing happen? And it was so easy to make it happen just because of the people that are involved, TJ, Dana, Chris, and now Lori, have you seen Lori at all on Lori Corrigan, the Brazilian waxing queen of Arizona? You seen her?
No, I don't. Chris nodded okay. his head. Yes,
no, that's why I'm a new biggest
Did
fan
she,
already.
Yeah, Chris, we might have to do like a live Brazilian waxing demonstration.
anything to further the business community in Arizona.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, man.
Developer evangelist. That means I'm there for everybody, right? Gotcha.
Yeah. No, but so Lori Corrigan, I mean, she's one of those people where like, if you look at her, like technically anybody that thinks about the old way of LinkedIn, she quote unquote shouldn't be on LinkedIn, but she's killing it. And I love it.
And is it
she's killing it.
Video or reaching?
No, she's, I don't know if she's done any videos. She's promoting her business and she's doing it the right way. It's a little edgy, but it's her. She's owning it. And like she specializes in removing hair from men. Like that's what she does.
You got to see Dana. As soon as you were saying that, she whispered the word men at the same time you were saying it, as almost to lip sync with you. So her thing, because Brazilian wax, of course, I think of women.
Yep.
And I think of ouch. But her thing is Brazilian wax for men?
Yeah. Well, her thing is Brazilian waxing for men, but it's to anybody that thinks of men getting waxed automatically thinks of Steve Carell in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Yelling. What did he yell?
Kelly Clarkson!
Right? And her thing is just to evangelize, look, that's not the reality of it. And I'm
Brilliant.
Basically, this is turning into a commercial for her,
that's
but that's not what it, I'm just saying.
This is how LinkedIn works.
If she's able to build a brand that people want to engage with, then I mean, literally anybody can. And then there's also Angela Felix, who is just an awesome person in the tech community. I mean, there's just an amazing group of people that are going to be there. And I'm going to let the other people have a turn to talk as well. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm super excited about this.
You ought to be super
really, really excited
about it. It is dynamic. Chris, tell us from your perspective and Galvanize. You're excited about 200 people so far, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge, right? So the reason I even have a job right now is because of the Phoenix market and how fast it's growing, how fast the tech community is growing, and just the need to provide a platform and a place to support people that are looking to get into the tech space, companies that are trying to hire up or skill up their workers, experienced developers that really need to connect with others and learn through that synergy, that open resource sharing. There's so much power in learning that way. I think a lot of people automatically think of books and they think of podcasts, they think of you know, tutorials or YouTube videos, but I personally live in a world where I learn so much from just conversating with other people about new technologies, about new things they're doing. And that kind of either opens my mind up to something I need to dive deeper or it literally explains something to me I didn't understand. And that's such a medium that I think is underappreciated when it comes to educating yourself and learning. And not to mention so much about the Phoenix market specifically, in my role and getting to meet everyone around the community, that's awesome. There's so much collaboration. Like collaboration is what is driving Phoenix right now to the spot it's in. And it's what's going to hopefully continue to push us forward because I get the opportunity to work with so many great larger companies, Amazon, GoDaddy, Allstate. And there's just so much like heart of collaboration. And I think that's at the heart what this really is, because the more people you meet and connect with, the more you can collaborate with them on, you know, maybe industries like I probably normally wouldn't get to meet Lori, but
oh, come on now.
I mean, you never know. But now I get to connect with Lori, and I've had talks with her. But there's so many people across the kind of Phoenix community that are either building businesses or have unique skill sets, or working on cool projects, or have a unique strategy to marketing themselves or their business, or just thought leaders that are really paving the way. And I think that's what really excites me about it. It's because it's a new age professional group where you get to connect with like-minded people that are really hopefully going to be successful, and you can help them to kind of reach that pinnacle a little faster, or they can kind of, feed off of you. So you can both kind of keep going forward.
What I found in running Phoenix Business Radio X is very similar to what you're sharing. People want to lend a hand. They want to accelerate the relationships because they have an idea or a like-minded feeling towards somebody or towards an organization or even an industry for that matter. Somebody from Atlanta who recently relocated to the Phoenix area said to me, "My God, Karen, this is so different working in the Phoenix tech industry than it is in other areas of the country. We've got to go to lunch first. We got to have coffee first. We have to engage in relationships." The people in the studio are smiling and kind of nodding their heads yes. And he's been very used to, let's sit down. Let's talk about what the need is. Are we going to do business? Yes or no? And then move on. I personally love the way Chris has described how our Metro Phoenix area works together, because it's around collaboration, lifting each other up, supporting, doing business when business makes sense. And since our life is so much about work as well as family and the fun things we do for fun, why not keep it all integrated as well, right?
Yeah. And I mean, this is, so in the technology world, a lot of people do things that others on the outside kind of question, right? Like, I'm out of business, more of a financial analyst role, and openly sharing your code or your trade secrets is baffling to anybody outside of technology. But that is, Google and all these awesome companies, they pay several engineers for projects that are completely 100% always going to be free. And they're merely organizations that are building bridges for others to cross. And I think there's a lot in there that is why technology moves so fast, is because people are crossing bridges and building new bridges farther. And it just kind of perpetuates, standing on the shoulder of giants by Stephen Hawking. This is the mentality that's kind of pervade and been supported in the technology community. And you're starting to see it kind of push even outside of that. But all this right here is, in this concept of collaboration and interdependence, as opposed to what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. Working together, you get farther than, kind of trying to pull something individually. Even like people that ride bikes in the Olympics, they learn this quickly. Like, I can only power so much by myself because I get exhausted. But if you kind of work together, you go farther. And that's, everyone talks about teamwork, but I can say from my unique experience in the Phoenix market that everyone is under that mentality. And again, that's why I love this community, and that's why technology specifically, I think, is really interesting right now in Arizona. I think that's why it's interesting to work here, to, move here and all that kind of stuff, as you see these recent reports of where we're at on the jobs. Yeah. Nationally.
With LinkedIn Local, I think that more and more people are hearing about the Phoenix tech market. And so people who aren't in tech are oftentimes interested to be like, what's going on in tech? Like, how can I get involved in that? How can that help me in my area of business or my area of expertise? And it's, I think that everyone in the tech industry is also very welcoming of people who are not in the tech industry to say, what are you up to? How can we collaborate in maybe ways we haven't thought of before? And this LinkedIn Local event is not only for technology, because Galvanize is basically the tech hub of Phoenix, but it's, really allowing everyone to come together and meet each other and learn about more about what we do and how we can all partner together.
Exactly.
It's funny because you talked about moving from other places here, because I moved here from Chicago, and Chicago was my place, right? Big city girl, loved the hustle and the bustle, like just go, go, go. And I moved here to Phoenix, and everyone's just relaxed, calm down, it's all okay. you know, we'll get done. And I'm like, no, I need to do it now. And it was just so funny. It took me now 3 years to kind of get adjusted to it. But now I'm like, I don't want to go back to Chicago. I love Phoenix. It's the place to be. It's the next Silicon Valley, according to some reports. It's just so much collaboration, so much working together. I mean, Dana and I are, and Greg, we are all in the same space, but we all work together. We all share ideas. We all talk. In Chicago, it would be like, why are you talking to your competition? Like, you should not talk to your competition. Why are you engaging with them? I'm like, because she might have a great idea that I don't know about. So, you know, it's funny you talk about that, Chris.
Yeah, it is refreshing. As an educator, having grown up as an administrator and an elementary school teacher, that's the environment I've always known. And so for me now, the last, you know, 12 years to be in business, I've always been a little disappointed and dejected when it wasn't like the way you've just described it, TJ and Chris, of course. Thank goodness it's that way, right? We know who we want to swim with. We won't know who we want to do business with. And when we're on LinkedIn, it is great because it's quick and easy. We're behind our screen or our phone, and we can communicate. But now, as Greg mentioned, this LinkedIn local opportunity puts us right in front of those people, front and center. I'm excited about Friday's event. Yeah, Greg, tell us so that our listeners, as they're listening, they can go out and register right now. And maybe Chris can help you with that too. But how does somebody get registered for Friday night's event?
So there is an Eventbrite, and I can, we'll have that. Chris can put that out. I can put that out.
Chris is looking for right now. Well, yeah, sorry, I caught you off guard. But and it's an Eventbrite event. And I think actually, that's all right. If I think when I registered, I just looked up LinkedIn Local Phoenix, and then I put in Eventbrite or Galvanize, and it came up as an Eventbrite opportunity, right?
Yeah, I created a short link. I'm trying to remember exactly.
No, that's right. When you have
it. It's something like LinkedIn Local. I think it's LNK. It's some weird variation of LinkedIn Local Phoenix.
And it's Friday.
It's super easy to find, though. Yeah. Like, just Google LinkedIn Local Phoenix and you'll find it.
Or just show up to Galvanize between 5 and 7 on Friday.
That's
like,
right.
Don't even worry. Like, I would love you to register. Just if you don't find it, come to Galvanize. Be there at 5 on Friday or any time between 5 and 7. It's pretty open.
It's open. Okay.
It's pretty open flowing. You know, we're going to have a quick panel and some kind of sprinkles of engaging activities, but pretty much it's open, it's free flowing. Come introduce yourself. We're probably going to force you to connect with some people you normally wouldn't. So if you don't like that, you will now.
That's the thing that I'm super excited about this. And so this LinkedIn Local thing and what we have planned is going to, I mean, obviously, extroverts, they already got it going. They know what to do and they go there and it's all good. But the introverts come to the LinkedIn Local because we're going to be able to make it easy for you to connect and chat and have a good conversation with people. And so that's one of the things that I'm super excited about. Some of the stuff that we've got going for there. And then the panel discussion that Chris talked about,
that topic he mentioned is going to be engagement.
Yeah. Yeah.
We keep losing you, Greg. You keep cutting out. I know you're in your studio. Where are you talking to us from? I don't even know that. You said it was good.
Yeah, I'm in Springfield, Missouri, and we got probably a good 5 inches of snow today. So.
And is that where you reside?
That's where I live. Yeah. It's actually today is my wedding anniversary, 7 years, and we've moved 6 times, once a year, every year for the past 7 years. And so hopefully we're going to break that tradition. We're tired of moving, but yeah, we're in Springfield, Missouri.
Wow. Well, happy anniversary. And, has your wife been to Phoenix?
We both lived there for a few years. My parents live in Queen Creek. We've been there.
Right. I just was thinking a lot of people, when there's snow on the ground and it's cold and below zero, people love to come to Phoenix and feel the warmth of the sun. So I thought maybe you'd have to get her out that way to do it. But it sounds like you're settled in. Happy anniversary to you. I'm excited about that. So we've talked a little bit about Galvanize. Can you give us, Chris, a little bit more of a description about, you know, how Galvanize really is the IT hub for Phoenix and Arizona? Who works at Galvanize? What do y'all do? I know there's an education component as well as co-work space and office space. I'm going to take your thunder, but go ahead.
No. So you know, I was talking two different ways to talk about it. Everyone explains Galvanize differently. And I guess my view is really it's a platform. If you are a business owner, an entrepreneur, freelancer, it's a platform for you to have a working office space that's open, where you are, in certain instances, kind of next to collaboration, because there's no cubicles, there's really no doors on most of the office interaction space, kind of like where Dana works. It's just open area to connect with others. For businesses, you know, that we have suites and different stuff. But really what it is a community at the very forefront. It's a community for entrepreneurs. It's a community for technologists, people interested in technology. And it's a community for students. So more on the side that I focus on is web development and data science. So we are, you know, educating students to make career changes into these fields, or, you know, to add on these skills if they've become outdated, or to supplement kind of the skills for like some of the students that come into our data science program. They have a PhD from ASU in physics, but they still don't have that working hands-on skill set. And right now we're in the technology world, pretty much is the only one I can speak on. Skill is the currency you trade in. That's the one that matters. So background is less important, but it's really about those skills you have. So Galvanize is there for students to really help them build those skills, you know, whether it's in web development, whether it's in data science. And then I guess the last piece is events. So community events to engage different people. Pretty much my whole job is hosting free events for the community, or even bringing events that we haven't traditionally had in this community. Like we had our first DevOps days last year, launched it, you know, and it's just all these things kind of come together, are pieces essentially to a puzzle of making Phoenix a great tech community. And Galvanize right now is at the center of that, which is awesome. But that's the whole idea behind Galvanize and everything that we kind of stand for and work towards is building a community for the Phoenix business entrepreneurs, businesses, technology enthusiasts that are looking to learn.
I love the combination between office space, co-op space, collaboration, and the education component. I know when we had Diana Vowles on not too long ago to talk about Galvanize specifically, with Rick Stoddard and Coplex, they just opened their new office there, didn't
so
they?
So the launch party for Coplex, so their launch is the 24th. We're having a grand opening for them. They have moved into the space. It's awesome. It's giant.
And I remember seeing it. Looks
I'm
beautiful.
So, I'm so excited for them because it's a great space. And it's like in the way of our space, they actually have glass windows on each side. So you can totally see in to their space the same way you would the suites. And yeah, they're going to do awesome things. Their team's, you know, working overtime.
They're connectors. I don't think we've used that word yet in our conversation about
they
this,
are.
But we're talking about connectors, right? All of us, and how this even came to be that you would land on the Business Radio X to promote this local LinkedIn local Phoenix event is that we're all about connecting each other. And, I know Rick Stoddard and the team over at Coplex is much like it as well, but I love this piece that you spoke to, Chris, around education, regardless of where the person is on the spectrum with their technology career. They could be brand spanking new, right? And putting their feet in the water, as so to speak, for coding and whatever else they're working on. And somebody else, as you mentioned, has their PhD and they've been in the industry for years, and they're coming together through the Galvanize coursework. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And I mean, hopefully, our real measurement of success is kind of our partner companies, the companies that are really working with us to either, you know, employ our students or just working with us traditionally. Like we have a all-state hiring event specifically focused on females tomorrow at Galvanize. With Allstate, they wanted to do something really, their 2018, really focus on diversity here in Phoenix. And I was like, let's do it. Let's, you know, fill the room and hopefully, you know, get some people jobs. But that's the real measurement of our success is kind of the partners that we've built by our students going there and kind of, you know, going into development and you know, climbing the ladder up in their companies. And right now, our two biggest hiring partners are Allstate and Amazon. And you know, Amazon, as we're all pushing for that second headquarters,
yes.
You know, I hope that that's kind of one of those pieces is this pipeline of talent. Like that is what makes Phoenix attractive to employers because I get to sit in an interesting role where companies that are really thinking about coming out here from Seattle or Silicon Valley, I get to introduce myself and kind of talk to them and tell them about the cool things about Phoenix. And you're seeing it a lot more. And a lot of that directly focuses on this piece of talent. There is a lot of talent here in terms of technical talent. And our program, along with ASU, along with, you know, U of A had a giant hackathon this weekend, which is just well done, well put on. But that's really about putting Phoenix on the map as a talent hub, because that's ultimately what makes companies come here. Is really the talent and supporting that talent. That's why my job kind of starts and ends right there at that level of engaging people so that they feel comfortable getting into the technology space and, you know, continuing to support them. Because for anyone that's a developer in any facet, you kind of learn that there's no point where you just stop learning. Like that's just the job.
You have to.
It is kind of this constant learning. So at the same time, providing that environment for those more experienced senior developers so that they continue to push down, you know, and build cool new technologies and build bridges out in the community.
Wonderful. TJ, back to this tagline around being the frustrated recruiter. What would you say is broken about the current hiring system?
Well, I think there's a disconnect between the candidates and the employers and the recruiters. Candidates are not, they don't know the entire hiring process. And a lot of times when you look at big agencies and big companies, there's a trend that you see that people say, I've been taken advantage of. Candidates will say, I've been taken advantage of. I've been run through 5 interviews. And at the end of the day, they didn't even give me a good answer of why I was not selected. It was like, thanks, but no thanks kind of deal. So I think that the feedback from candidate, from the employers to the recruiters to the candidate is broken. That loop is broken. And a lot of times I talk to candidates that have been in the working industry for 20, 30 years, and they're like, I've been treated like crap and I don't like it. And I'm like, you know, calm down. It's okay. I'll provide feedback, whether it's good or whether it's bad. It will be candid. It'll be honest. I'll provide feedback. And I think talking about it, a lot of people have started talking about it on LinkedIn. You'll see people talking to recruiters, talking to candidates. And, you know, it's kind of, I tried getting the angry recruiter tagline. It wasn't available for my blog. Somebody else had already taken it. So I'm like, you know, I'm kind of frustrated about the whole process. And I kind of want to make it more transparent. Give the view, give an insider perspective to the candidates of what's going on the hiring side. Because recruiters are always, I guess, the people whose head is on the chopping block because we are so visible in the hiring process. Nobody blames the hiring manager. Nobody blames the candidate. It's all about the recruiters. And I'm like, let me show you what we see. And let me help you on how to navigate the bad recruiters. Because like any industry, any job, any profession, there are bad recruiters. The few that give the rest of us, like Greg and myself and Dana, a bad name. And they come to us and they're like, you're going to treat me the same way the last person treated me. I'm like, no, I'm not. This is my job. This is what I'm passionate about. I'm not going to do that to you because this is my brand. This is who I am. And it's not going to happen.
Dana and Greg, you both feel the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's when you're in recruiting, so much of what we do is up to us. So much of our process, how we speak to our candidates, the follow-up method, it really is up to us. Obviously, it changes depending on the agency that we work with and the training that we receive sure. as recruiters. But I think that there are plenty of frustrated people in the industry. And I think the most fun part of being an IT recruiter in local Phoenix, to me at least, is showing people that we're not all the same. And, you know, having people come to you and say, I never want to work with another recruiter again. I've never had a better experience. Thank you for like making me feel comfortable during my experience and just keeping me updated. And what I think what I've realized is that it's really not that hard to do. But if you don't build those habits up front and you aren't taught the correct way, then you don't have those habits. And it's easy to let people and conversations slip through the crack when they mean a lot to the candidates.
And you know, you touched a great point about the training and whatnot, because I started off my career with a big name agency. I won't name them. But it was all about the numbers for them and the KPIs and the metrics. This was one after another, after another, after another. And I kind of got tired of it. And I went into corporate recruiting because I wanted to have that interpersonal relationship with the candidates, let them know a little bit more. And when that fell through and I was laid off, and I, after a trial and error, I found Phoenix Staff, which my boss is all about the relationship. And he's like, no, we have to treat the people right. And I had the conversation up front. I'm like, what is your policy? How do you work? What are the KPIs? Because that told me who he was, what the company was. And I can with confidence say that Phoenix Staff will never screw someone over just to make a buck. It will always be the right way. It will always be the ethical way. And I love working for them for that reason, because I am that person. I will not place somebody when I know they're not going to work out. I will not put somebody in front of a manager that I know they're not going to like. If I know that they're not the right person in my heart and heart, I will say, hey, I don't think this is the right fit. I've known the manager. I don't think this is the right fit. Let's look for other opportunities. And I'll give them a reason why I don't think that they are the right fit.
Transparency.
Absolutely. Yes. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's all about being transparent, both not only for the person that's on the recruiting end, but also for the company end, correct?
Yep.
You've got to be that conduit between them. And if those lines of communication aren't clear, then someone's walking away pissed off.
Yep.
And it's our job, too, to make sure that when we're partnering with hiring managers, that we communicate to them how important it is that they follow a similar process and give us feedback and be transparent about the process, because their reputation is on the line just as ours is. And in this extremely, extremely tough and competitive technical market, when it comes to clients, it's no longer, oh, I have a web development job open. Yeah, you and 400 other companies. So if you're not working in a way that is transparent and is enjoyable process for those technologists, then people are going to talk. And the tech community here, it's large, but it's small at the same time.
Yep.
So it's very important.
And, you know, we always ask, what is something that makes you as an employer different than the other employers? Because like Dana said, it's you and 400 other companies. Why should a candidate who has all the skill set, who is making that money that you're looking to pay, make a lateral move or even make a backwards move sometimes? Why should they come work for you, your company? And, you know, if they say we are agile, I'm like, that's a buzzword. Tell me more.
Now, what does that mean?
Yeah,
to you?
It's like,
we need more.
Yeah, it's like, we need a lot more. You know, how long have people been there? Can I talk to somebody who's been there for 5-10 years? What makes you the employer that they want to stay at for 5-10 years? What makes you, why did that person leave? Was it your fault? Was it their fault? Like, what happened? So I think we all kind of get into the nitty gritty that helps us. And I hate, you know, I'll use this word, but sell the company to the candidates, because it's not just about selling the candidates to the company. It's also about selling the company to the candidate, because the candidate will have another 3 offers tomorrow. So why should they take your offer is essentially what it is.
Because it's not always about money, is it?
No.
Yeah, not even. And that's actually something I'm very open with when I talk to, you know, students or just, you know, a lot of people ask me about my experiences wherever I'm at. And that's something I attest to. Like this, the job that I'm doing right now, you could pay me a lot of money and I still wouldn't leave for what I'm doing right now, because there's something in the connection in the people I work with, which are amazing, that I didn't know how valuable that is until I found it. But yeah, like I think we all probably get LinkedIn like requests or like hey, you want to become a developer again, or you want to go into data science, or you want to, you know, do this, do that. I didn't really understand that. And in the tech world, right, you can, like, if you look at my resume, you'll see year is the length of my stay before, you know, somebody else kind of has somebody move on and they need specifically your skill set or whatever it has. It's not really looked down on in the technology world to have a resume with 6 years of 1 year experience in different places. But now it's, you know, I kind of found that there is something beyond money, beyond, you know, a lot of other things that to go to the core, it's who you work with and what you're doing. And that is the most important, hands down, beyond money to me at this point.
Culture and your boss, the person you're working for. I truly believe that you don't leave the company, you leave your boss. A good boss can make or break it. And it's just so funny. You mentioned that, Chris, you know, all of us getting messages from these educational companies. I used to work for somebody who competes with Chris here, their sister company. I left there and a week later, one of their reps sent me a message saying, hey, do you want to be a developer? And I'm like, no, I don't. But thanks for reaching out. And you might have wanted to look at my profile and see where I was working before, because I used to work for your sister company. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like,
do the homework.
Yeah.
Yeah, do the homework. Craig, tell us about a Trilogy Solutions Group. I'd like each of you, I know Chris had an opportunity to tell us a little bit about Galvanize, but I want to make sure each of you get to talk a little bit about your specialty and the community that you serve and the kind of folks that you like to work with. Can we start with you, Greg?
Yeah, no, definitely. Are you able to hear me all right? Sorry.
We can. No, you're good. And awesome. and when you fade out, Dana fills in for you, so we're good.
Awesome. Perfect. I mean, Trilogy Solutions Group is a staffing company. They've been around for 18 years now, almost. Started in 2000, gone through all the ups and downs of the market since then. And really, it's because of what Dana and TJ were talking about. It's just the degrees of difference between a good recruiter and a bad recruiter that gives everybody a bad reputation is not, there's not that big of a difference as far as degrees goes. It's really, I mean, like they said, doing the small stuff that most people don't do. It's getting back to somebody. It's telling them, you know, they didn't choose you for this role, even though that's a really crappy conversation to have, to tell somebody, hey, you're not the person. It's just doing those small things and really just being human. I mean, if you think about it, recruiting, being a good recruiter is just treating somebody exactly how you would want to be treated in that situation. And so a Trilogy is just a group of people. A lot of the people have been there for, I mean, there's some people that have been there since the beginning of the company for coming up on 18 years.
Wow.
People go there and they just stay there because of the culture behind a Trilogy. I mean, yes, we get people jobs and yes, we've been around for a long time, but the cool thing is just the family dynamic behind the brand of a Trilogy. People are just treated well when you come here. I mean, whether you're a candidate or an employee or a client, we treat people with respect. And we take that. And I would say this about Dana and TJ as well. We just take the extra time. It's not a ton of extra time. It's you just take the time to figure out what does this person actually want, you know? And it's like if you go to a restaurant, they ask you what you want. You say, I want a steak. They don't just bring you back whatever it is that they think you want in a steak. They say, okay, how would you like that? Okay, would you like a side? What would you like to drink? And there's all different things. There's different ingredients that makes a good meal at a restaurant and the restaurant experience, something that you would be really excited about bringing somebody else to. And it's the same with recruiting. You know, it's not just, I have a job, you have a resume, let's talk. It's really digging in and figuring out, okay, what are the motivations? Why do you even want a job? What, if I presented you with something, would you get excited about? Like, what is it? What is that flavor that you're looking for? What is that meal you're looking for? And so,
and what's the best fit? Yeah, helping them find
right,
the best
exactly.
fit. It's got to be satisfying for you guys to, when you do land that opportunity to connect somebody that you know they're going to excel and succeed with a group that you love referring to and connecting them. It's got to feel great,
yeah.
huh?
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's the best. Because, like, I mean, like, I've literally had people cry on the phone with me. Like, not just, like grown men cry on the phone with me.
Yeah.
Because they're so excited. And it's like, it's awkward.
Sorry about that, Greg. That was earlier today.
Yeah. No, it's awkward. But it's the best feeling ever to know that you have literally potentially given that person the opportunity to pay for rent and food for their family.
You're talking about, right. You're talking huge. About people's livelihood. Mm-hmm. And, right. and what I keep hearing each of you share is that you're taking the guesswork out of it for them. Because if they're walking away from an interview, multiple interviews, as TJ pointed out, and therefore, I know one of my clients as an executive leader was going through the interview process. And I think he was texting me, you know, after the fourth and fifth interview with one company alone. And then it just, the communication stopped. And he was devastated. And he's a fantastic individual. I know he brings it to the table. And he's like, Karen, what do I do now? Like, how do I have this opportunity to come back and find out what did I do that, you know, like, how did I not excel to the top without any feedback? And it's the guesswork. You got to take the guesswork out of it for people and help them hone those crafts too, I would imagine as well.
Yep.
Yeah. TJ, can you tell us about your organization? We've already said that how much you love working with them. Who do you specifically work with and how does that process go for folks?
So Phoenix Staff has been in the Phoenix market since 2002. My boss, Alan, started the company after working for a big name organization. And he started the company, I believe, with the drive to doing things right and doing things the right way and the ethical way. And then came my partner, Matt. And all of us are, I believe, cut from the same cloth. Tenure-wise, I'm the youngest person there. I've only been there 6 months. Everyone else has been there for years and years. And when I took this position, I specifically took it because of my boss, Alan. Now, Phoenix Staff is in the technical world in Phoenix. We also have a location in Las Vegas and Austin. And as we are growing, I've had this conversation with my boss and he's like, I never want to grow just for the sake of growing. I want to do it right way. I want to bring in the right people. And we always have the conversation, whether they're getting hired in Las Vegas or Austin, we all talk to them and we all try and kind of get a feel out of them. It's like, is this person somebody I can work with? And to be working for a person where I can go and have a conversation and say, hey, Al, I need help with this personal thing. Can I talk to you about this? And he's like, absolutely. Let's talk about it. He'll take time out of his day to talk to us. And it's kind of like Greg was saying, for a trilogy, we are a family. We're no longer coworkers. We're no longer friends. We are a family. And next week, we're kind of doing something interesting. We're going down to Mexico to build houses.
Oh, wow.
For people. Cool. Yeah. It's like, and when he talked about it, I'm like, let me make sure. Because it was the same point when Greg started talking about LinkedIn Local. I'm like, when is that? Okay, we can do both. Let's do this. And it's so cool. We were just talking about this morning. It's giving, not just making money, but it's giving back to the community. So, like I said, I love working for Alan. I love working for Phoenix Staff. It is my place. And it's some place I imagine myself being for the next 3, 5, 10 years because of the people. And I don't think, like Chris was talking about, you know, moving out of the company, you would have to pay me $1 million to get me out of Phoenix Staff and leave my current boss and leave my partners in crime to go work for somewhere else. So
love hearing that. Seems to be, yeah, it seems to be the theme. Dana, how about for you?
Yeah. So my company, Concentric Corporation, here locally in Phoenix, it's myself and my colleague, Shelby. We just hired one brand new recruiter, but it is us three. And then we've got a team of 10 out in Omaha, Nebraska, of all places. So my company president, his name is Andy. Again, just like TJ said, he's an amazing person. I knew it the moment I chatted with him on the phone. His philosophy, his approach to business development, his approach to creating and building long-term satisfactory relationships from both the client and candidate perspective, I just knew that it was the right fit. And so my colleague and I work out of Galvanize because we wanted to be at that tech center. We wanted to be surrounded by people who not only are doing the things that our clients hire for, but also people who we can, again, partner with and create relationships with as well. So we in the Phoenix market kind of specialize in working with tech companies, more small to medium sized tech companies. And I myself specialize in recruiting web and software development talent in Phoenix for my clients. That's really my area of specialty. I'm not a developer myself, but you can see me at React meetups, at HackerNest meetups, at any meetup where I can go and potentially meet some great talent, learn a thing or two that makes me just a little bit more advanced in my technical knowledge than someone else might. Because a lot of times, as a recruiter, it's our job to be able to connect and relate with the people that we're talking to. So if we don't understand what they do, how can we really recruit them? And so when they see us as recruiters out in the market, learning the things that they do on a daily basis, I think that they respect us more. And my boss and my colleague, he really promotes, go out, learn these things, watch tutorials, go to these events, have networking events where you bring people together just for the sake of having a good time. For example, my boss made us these huge and beautiful, I don't know if you know what cornhole is, but cornhole and bag sets. And we had a cornhole tournament down at Galvanize about a month or two ago, just for fun. And we hosted it. Awesome. We brought in pizza, and it was all the members of Galvanize. And it was just a good time. We weren't there to recruit people. We weren't there to do anything other than bring people together and have a good time.
Connect and relate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, can you bring those cornhole things to the LinkedIn local?
They're actually already at Galvanize. So if we want to bring them out.
All right. They're going to. All right. So anybody that's listening that wants to challenge me to corn.
Yep.
Yep.
Me and Greg on a team.
There you go. And Galvanize is a big enough space that you can do a lot of fun things like that. Yeah.
It's love really it. Fun.
So I'm curious about each of you and a LinkedIn story. Greg, are you still with us?
I am. Yeah. Sorry. It keeps breaking out.
You're cool. We fill in the gaps. Do you have a LinkedIn story you can share with us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my LinkedIn story is kind of wild where I'd been on LinkedIn for like 6 years, something like that, and just used like almost everybody else did. It was an online
fill in the blank.
Networking.
I'm going to go with resume.
There he is.
Hey. Ah, I'm back. All right. So I'll try and keep it short and fast and sweet. June 2017, I did a LinkedIn boot camp and just kind of taught people how to build up their profile. And I started a podcast called Dawn of the Devs. And it just really took off from there. It was wild where I went from, I think, just under 2,000 followers. And now I'm close to 12,000 in just basically 6 months. And it's been a wild journey. And I'm actually relaunching that LinkedIn bootcamp this week to help even more people. Yeah, I'm super, super excited about it because TJ's going to be helping out with it. Dana's going to be having a baby. So she might pop in, but she has other things that are a little bit more important. I don't know what they could be.
I don't know.
But yeah, Dana is awesome. She's been helping me out with the podcast as well. But it's been wild. Once you start using LinkedIn the right way, the things that you're able to do and the doors that it opens are just insane. Like I said at the beginning, I've never met any of the people on this show. I've never met Chris, Dana, TJ, or you ever. It's all through LinkedIn.
Yeah. Great. Other stories. Dana, you've got a LinkedIn story as well.
Yeah. So I will try and make mine short and sweet as well. But I'm from a really small town in northern Minnesota that no one would have ever heard of probably. But it's like 300 people. And I moved here after college in 2010. I had no connections, nothing. I had zero people that I knew here. And getting started was a little bit tough. But I had started a LinkedIn profile in college, never touched it. And in 2011, I started using it just kind of regularly. And really quickly, I realized how connecting with one person on LinkedIn, asking them to go to coffee and having coffee with them could open umpteen doors. And so when I had that first experience, I realized how powerful LinkedIn was. And this was, again, back in 2012. So I, before I got into recruiting, I had a business doing career consulting where I would basically go around the valley and train people how to use LinkedIn to get the same results that I did, because I saw the power of what leaving a meaningful comment on someone else's post could do to just start a conversation, what reaching out and creating a meaningful connection request and saying, hey, came across your profile, love what you're up to. I'd love to learn more about you. Let's hang out. And, you know, some people are really uncomfortable with that, but it was so powerful. And every single job that I have had in Phoenix has been directly related to someone I had been connected with on LinkedIn. The reason I even got into IT recruiting was because I had been connected to another IT recruiter for about 3 years. And just kind of, you know, you just kind of watch people and you see what they post, and sometimes you engage and maybe you never meet them, but all it takes is one person to post something that you're interested in. And then they've seen you, whether it's just your name or met you in person. And then you reach out, and that can be the game-changing opportunity. The position I landed in now was directly related to the fact that I had met someone Chris works with at Galvanize. She's the career services manager. I had met her at a React meetup, connected with her on LinkedIn. And she, when my boss Andy came into Phoenix, he sat down with her in looking at office space and said, I'm looking for an IT recruiter, someone who likes to write, someone who is good on LinkedIn, someone who does all these things. Who do you recommend? And she gave him my name. And had I not met her and then followed up with her on LinkedIn, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be here with TJ and Chris and you and having this conversation. It's all due to LinkedIn.
Shout out to Maria Montoya on that one.
Yes. Thank you, Maria.
One of my awesome coworkers.
Yeah. Do you have a LinkedIn?
So I'll tell you the one that Diana likes to tell, the GM of Galvanize. So when I started this journey about a year, I probably worked before we actually launched the physical Galvanize space. We had a pop-up space. So I took this journey about a year and 2 months ago or so. I started the job with 14 LinkedIn connections. That's a real number. She initially, like, when I told her this story for the first time, she's like, 1,400? I was like, no, like a total
of
14.
Are you kidding?
So I think now I'm up to, like, I crossed over 6,000 relatively recently, but that's kind of
crazy.
An idea of all the awesome people I've got to connect with. That I've gotten to share stories with that are interested in what's going on in the Phoenix community, or interested in what's going on at Galvanize, or interested in, you know, data science, any of these cool technology. That's kind of a tribute to that, and how, you know, how fast it's been kind of a whirlwind in the last year. But yeah, that's my one and only LinkedIn story.
That's a darn good one. I would have no idea. I've been on LinkedIn for a long time, but haven't utilized it. I've been very underutilizing the opportunity. I've kind of been a Facebook girl for some of the things that I've done in the past. But for Business Radio X, LinkedIn makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I just assume, Chris, since you were one of the first people I connected after getting to know Dinah Vowles and Rick Stoddard, like, you were just a pro out there. I'm happy to hear that it just accelerated so quickly. Yeah.
You too can go.
Yeah, you too can be like me.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not, you know, what is that? 20,000, 40,000% or whatever.
Yeah, but you know what? You're a testimony to how quickly your circle and sphere of influence can grow with the power of LinkedIn. That's the key. Yeah. I mean, look, that's huge. And that's the opportunity that you guys are affording, at least the Phoenix market for this week anyway. And, you know, LinkedIn local down the road in other cities as well. But it's incredible. TJ, how about you? Do you have a LinkedIn story to share as well?
I do. So I started in LinkedIn back in college, because in college, everyone was told LinkedIn is the new place to be. Create a profile. It was a skeleton profile. And then I got my first real job at after moving to Phoenix. And I had about 50 people. So a little bit better than Chris, my buddy over here. But I had about 50 people. And then we went through training at my company. And they're like, oh, you know, add everyone. Just keep adding people. Hiring managers, IT people, just keep adding. So I got to 500. And then about in March or April, I got connected with Greg, and he was posting all these things, and it was awesome. I joined his boot camp, the LinkedIn boot camp, and I'm like, you know what? I could actually do something here. I have all these ideas. I can start writing about it. So I started writing about it and I started my blog, thefrustratedrecruiter.com, and it just went off from there. I think in February last year, March last year, I was about 4,000 people and I just crossed 10,000 followers. So I'm super excited about it. And it's just, you know, seeing the engagement, seeing, I think all of us can attest, the trolls, it's after a while, it's hilarious. But, you know, they come and attack you and have a different viewpoint and you're like, okay. And then, you know, the people who thank you, like I get a message every single day, at least two or three. It's like, thank you for, you know, giving me an insight on the recruiting side of the things. Thank you for writing that post. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. And now people are coming up to me and they're like, can you write a post about this? Can you write a post about this? And I'm like, sure, let me do some research, because I never want to put out something that is not 100% accurate or does not show what things are about. So I'll connect with recruiters across the country and even globally and say, what is your hiring process? Where do you think you can do this? Because I'm not an expert and I'll never be. Recruiting such a broad industry that nobody can be an expert in anything.
But you are a voice and you're a sound voice. And one of the things I love so much, and Dana, I haven't had a chance to get to see many of your posts. I think we just recently connected. Mm-hmm. But all three of you, you can see your personality shine through. You are clear about who you're connecting with and how you're doing that. And for anybody who hasn't taken advantage of LinkedIn yet, I think that's really the underlying theme here, Greg, isn't it? That really, like, you don't have to be somebody you're not. You just show up in that space and you show up being you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's really the reason why Lori Corrigan, the Brazilian waxing queen, the reason why she's doing so well is not because of anything else, but she just owns who she is. Like, I think a lot of people that try to build out a LinkedIn presence, they try to be what they think other people want them to be, and they end up failing. It's not until you like release all that baggage and just set it down and say, you know what, I'm just going to be authentically who I am. And that's when engagement just goes through the roof. And it's really cool because you might not be everybody's cup of tea, but you might be somebody's cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Right.
So it's really just owning who you are. And there's a little bit more that goes into it, but it's so simple. It's literally, if an introverted weirdo like me can do anything on LinkedIn, then I guarantee it. Or if somebody like Chris with, what was it, 14 connections?
Yeah, that was 14. A solid. Yeah. And one of them wasn't my mother, but she would have added, if she had a LinkedIn, it would have been her.
She would have been 15, yeah. Right? She would have rounded out to 15. Hey, Greg, how much of our conversation today would parallel to what the kind of things the panel will be talking about at LinkedIn Local Phoenix? I mean, are there some similarities? What can you encourage people to look forward to as they come see you guys on Friday night at Galvanize?
Well, I mean, first of all, you get to meet Dana and Chris and TJ, just an incredible group of people. That's just to name a few of them. But what the panel is going to be talking about is really just a lot of people want to know how to engage. How do we even start? Where do we start? And so we're going to give you some just really simple, easily implementable tips and tricks and stories about how it's worked for us. And
Perfect.
You can take a few pieces of that and put it together and figure out your own recipe. But that's the beauty of it, is it's so simple. And we're going to show everybody exactly how simple it really is.
And maybe play some cornhole.
Yes.
Yep. I'm going to beat some people. So I'm an introvert unless it comes to competition. Like
okay.
I took my wife out on a date the other day and I just whooped her at checkers, like hardcore. And I don't, like, there's no mercy. And I feel really bad about it because this is like our anniversary date.
I was going to say, what, like, kind of date is this,
like,
country
checkers.
Buffet? When you find a checker board?
Yeah, wait, like, you guys don't take your dates to play checkers? Is that?
No.
Maybe it's me.
My husband takes me to Pee Wee hockey games where we don't know anyone. And we're just like.
Yeah. And we just did a road trip this weekend to Colorado Springs by car. We listened to audio tapes the whole time and we played dominoes.
Nice.
Our big thing with our 10-year-old. Hey, we're just about at the top of the hour. That was a really great way to kind of round it out, Greg, to let our listeners know that when they come and participate at Galvanize on Friday night, with this LinkedIn Local Phoenix, it really is about some strategies, some techniques, some of the golden nuggets that each of you experienced around how to utilize LinkedIn to get where you are. And I know I'm going to be there. I'm very much looking forward. I've already, you know, admitted that I'm a novice. So I'm happy to be in the audience and learning with and from you. Before we close out the show, can each of you share how folks can get a hold of you? Should they have, you know, you've sparked a thought in their mind and they want to follow up after our time together. Dana, why don't you start for us?
Sure. So I'm pretty easy to find. If you, actually, I shouldn't say that because my last name's hard to spell. But if you're on LinkedIn and you search Dana with a Y, D-A-Y-N-A, and then if you just try and sound out Charfolia, even if it's spelt wrong, I should pop up. But find me on LinkedIn. I hang out there almost every day. You can, if anyone, for whatever reason, you want to have coffee, you want to learn more about me, what I do, I'm always up for having coffee. You can reach me at dana@concentriccorp.com. That's pretty easy.
Excellent. Greg, how about you?
So you can find me pretty much anywhere on Twitter or Instagram or whatever at Recruitin' Greg. So it's like recruiting, R-E-G. And if it's on LinkedIn, you could look up linkedin.com/in/recruitin'Greg or just look up Greg Johnson, a.k.a. Recruitin' Greg. If you are noticing a theme here, you can find me pretty much anywhere as Recruitin' Greg.
Excellent. And somebody else with a theme, TJ, how do we find you?
Just search hashtag the frustrated recruiter and you'll see all of my posts. And there I am. I am, my full legal name is Thajal. So you won't see TJ on there. You will see Thajal Vagadia, but that is me.
Perfect. And with phoenixstaff.com as well.
Yes, TJ at phoenixstaff.com.
Perfect. And Chris, we'll finish up with you.
Well, so funny thing about this is Greg did one of his awesome tutorial videos on how to change your tag name. And so at that moment, I changed mine. So if you actually type in, I think, Nerd Nation, you can also find
yep.
me.
I love that.
But if you don't want to type in Nerd Nation into your LinkedIn, because that seems weird, it's Chris. And then the last name is H-U-I-E. If I'm not at the top, I should be. And that's... Yeah. That's my fault.
I'm just going to stick with Nerd Nation for now. Why would I not want to do that?
Well, the only reason I remember that is because I sent you the link. I've never sent this link. And I sent it to you and I was like, ah, that's awesome.
I love it. You too, ladies and gentlemen, can learn how to change that when you come to Galvanize on Friday at 5, between 5 and 7, open.
Yeah, 100% open. Again, it's
mostly free. It's a complimentary opportunity.
Yep. Free food, drinks provided by Phoenix staff. So thank you to them. And yeah, but it's going to be free flowing. So the panel is a very little subset of meet other people, meet new people, connect about what you're doing, share what you're doing in business. Tell us what we can do to help. Like, not enough people share their goals with others and ask for help. And I think that's something that I really am taking into 2018 and I want to do more. But I think more people should do that because people are all like all we've talked about this whole time is how willing people are to help. Just tell us how we can help you. And I think that's the goal. That's at the core of what this is give you a bigger group of people to help you reach your goals.
Excellent.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's right. Well, I'm going to pass out some Phoenix Business Radio X mugs as we close out the show here. And Greg, I will bring mine to personally give it to you on Friday night. You yes. all have been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. I'm Karen Nowicki, and we'll hear you next time.